Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Thank you for tuning in to the Sport Ethos Nets podcast. As always, your host, Cody Mallory. You can find me on Twitter at RealCodyMallory. Tonight, I am once again joined by Joe Farrow on Twitter. That is at the Joe Farrow. And Anthony, how's it going tonight, guys?
It's good.
Very blunt.
You're going to ALCS. How about that?
Yes, that was great way to kick the night off. And now we are currently recording during after the Celtics Sixers game and right before the Lakers and Warriors game. Warriors just got their ring, so it's been a good sports day.
The Warriors so ring ceremony was so long.
Not
long. It was also watching the game right now.
They're still taking forever. Like, the ring ceremony ended 10 minutes ago and the game was supposed to start at 10. It is currently 10:34 and we have not started. Some of us got work in the morning.
I think we all have work in the morning.
I'm not staying up late, but I may watch like the first half.
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way. But so as Joe said, it's Tuesday night, which means tomorrow the Brooklyn Nets officially start game 1 out of 82. Obviously, everyone knows by now it is against the Pelicans. Before we go into kind of like a season preview, a game preview, there's not a Nets podcast when it comes to game time without talking about an injury report, unfortunately. So let's just very quickly give an update. Seth Curry, Joe Harris, TJ Warren, all three are out tomorrow. Curry and Joe Harris will be reevaluated on Thursday, with TJ Warren being reevaluated in November. From Christian Winfield on an interview with Joe Harris, he said he is pushing for a return soon from a recent bout with soreness in his left foot, which is the same ankle he had ankle surgery on. But he also expects to be at a little bit of a limited capacity when he does make his season debut. Guys, we talked about it last week, and I think this was kind of all of our biggest fear, was that Joe would not be ready for the season opener on Wednesday.
Yeah. You go first, sorry.
I mean, we were saying the other day, we didn't, like, I mean, missing the first game is not the worst thing in the world. I think it's more the long-term concern. Like, guy missed all of last year, pretty much, and now he's still battling soreness, and now he's saying when he comes back, it's going to be in a limited capacity. Does that mean to start off, does he think he's not going to be able to get back to full strength, like, at all throughout this season, or what's really going on over there? So that's definitely concerning, but at the same time, it's like we kind of had an inkling that he wasn't going to make the season opener. Same thing with Seth Curry, obviously, and TJ Warren we already knew about. But that is a lot of shooting the Nets are going to be missing on opening night. And I don't know, that might hurt us.
Yeah, before Anthony, real quick, I think the limited capacity part is what concerns me. But go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, like you said, like if it was just like missing the game, he'd be good for Thursday or good next week. It's a different story. I feel like them like kind of like previewing, like leaking to Winfield that he's gonna be limited capacity. They're kind of like trying to like temper expectations, which is like kind of sucky because he's like our fourth best player. Well, he is our fourth best player. I don't think it's really much of a debate. So it kind of does suck.
Even if he wasn't the fourth best player, he is the fourth highest paid player on the team and on a team that is very much over the cap. So that's something to take note of as well.
Yeah, that's a big, big point to keep in mind. Well, and I think just what he does with the team, like the spacing he provides, and like unlike Curry and Mills, he can actually like stay in the court and like defend bigger players. So I would say he's the most crucial of all of our shooters. So it really does like hurt us. I'm hoping, like you said, it's just a couple weeks he's limited, and then like he does return to full strength. I don't know though. That doesn't seem like it's starting off on the good foot. No pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, it should be noted that those words were Joe Harris's words exactly to Winfield. He spoke to Winfield directly. He's the one that directly said limited capacity. This was not coming from the Nets. It was coming from Joe Harris himself. So with Harris out, Curry out, I think it kind of confirms that we are once again going to see Royce O'Neal and Nick Claxton start alongside the big three, which we saw last Friday night in the last preseason game, again against the Timberwolves, where the Nets once again won, and they looked pretty good. Like, Kyrie was doing his thing. Once again, I just love his defensive intensity. There was the play where he was clapping in Anthony Edwards' face on the, I think it was the left wing. He ripped him. Like, Kyrie's bought in. Claxton has even said it to the press recently. Royce looked good again. I mean, the Nets in general, their offensive sets were crisp, and I think it was a great way for them to end the preseason, getting ready for tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I think the preseason games, the last two, obviously, we looked a lot better than we did in the first two. And I think that was more along the lines of Ben finding more of a feel and, like, doing exactly what we were saying on here after the first two preseason games, which is using him in the role that we had James Harden in, which is, like, the full-on focal point of running the offense. And they have looked a lot better when they really start working on that, rather than trying to have Ben Simmons make cuts to the basket and trying to feed him in the post and everything else they were trying to do in the first two games. Like, use Ben how Ben is, like, play Ben to his strengths, like we were all saying. And they seemed to do that in the last two preseason games, and he looked a lot better.
Yeah, I think there's the intensity too, like just the giving effort. I think like the first two games, they just weren't doing that. And then they finally realized, hey, let's like not coast, because we did a lot of that last season. Let's try to get right these last two preseason games. So, like, when we start the season, it's not like a let's flip it on now type of thing. It's like we already, like, know what we're capable of. So I think that was the biggest key.
Yeah, sure. I mean, one thing that I want to talk about real quick with this is, obviously, game one's against the Pelicans. The Timberwolves started Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. The Pelicans are going to start a very big lineup as well. And the Nets more than held their own against the Timberwolves. I know it was preseason, but they didn't get killed on the boards, and they didn't get killed in the paint, which I think that's kind of everyone's fear against the Pelicans, especially with Zion Williamson, who is just an absolute beast down there. And, I mean, I don't know who's going to match up with them. I don't think they should put Ben on them, but they're probably going to have to just because they don't really have anyone else.
No, I agree for sure. I wouldn't like to have Ben just straight up using all – of his energy on the defensive end trying to body up Zion Williamson, because that likely just will not work. But the Pelicans are a very, very long team as well. They have guys like Herb Jones, Brandon Ingram, obviously Zion Williamson, and Jonas, right? It's Jonas Valanciunas over there, right? Or am I going nuts?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, I am. Okay. I thought it was, for some reason, I always confuse the teams that Valanciunas and Steven Adams are on for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're a very long team, so they might end up causing some havoc on the glass. But at the same time, I think the Nets should be able to hold their own, because we are a very much improved long improved team in terms of like length as well.
Yeah, I just wonder if we have enough shooting for this game. Like, I know we have like the big three playing, and that should be enough. Just like spacing wise, like I know Royce can kind of space the court. I think Patty's going to have to play a lot, which is, like, not ideal with, like, you're playing a bigger team, but, like, we really don't have a choice right now. So it's going to be interesting to see where they pick and choose the spots. Maybe like a second unit when like some of the bigger guys are out, so you can kind of hide his poor defense. Maybe throw him like Alvarado or something if he plays, something along those lines. But it'll be interesting to see how they match up defensively, because I don't think Ben will like just travel with Zion. I think he'll switch on Ingram, he'll switch on Jones. I think it's going to be like a lot of like switch everything defense we've seen. Like maybe we'll throw Royce a little bit on Zion, try to give the Pelicans different looks and give the Nets some breathers on some of the stars so that someone doesn't get tired out themselves.
No, yeah, I agree. Yeah, let's do a quick preview on the game against the Pelicans before we go into like a more season thing. The Pelicans are projected, according to ESPN, their depth chart is CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones, Zion, and Valanciunas. That's their projected starting lineup. Obviously, a ton of size. You figure Herb Jones is definitely going to match up with KD. Ingram, I would imagine, would start on Royce. And then McCollum probably guards Kyrie. Valanciunas, obviously, on Claxton. And then Zion guards Ben, maybe. That's what I would imagine. And I would kind of imagine the Nets to almost match up the same way. I would probably maybe put KD on Ingram, but like I think it was Joe said, they're going to switch a lot still. So the size is going to be crucial for the Nets. And I mean, besides Kyrie, Royce O'Neal is the next smallest guy. And Royce can match up with Ingram. He could hold his own against Zion every once in a while. I mean, the Nets will have to help. But I would also kind of expect the Nets to help down in the post a fair amount this game, help off of Herb Jones. Maybe even help off of Brandon Ingram if he's spotting up, as crazy as that sounds. But I'm just afraid that Zion is going to have an absolute field day down low.
Yeah, that's definitely the main concern. And then also, we saw after CJ McCollum got traded over to New Orleans halfway through last year, he really had an uptick in his playmaking because he was the main ball handler as opposed to when he was playing with Dame for so many years. So his passing ability, I feel like, has always been underrated throughout his career, and him manning that offense might cause a few problems for the Nets too.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I mean, I think CJ McCollum is very, very underrated. I mean, he kind of got lost in Portland. Obviously, everyone knew that him and Dame were kind of doing their thing together, but they never really got there. But I think he's a very underrated player.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the Pelicans is a team now. I think they're flying under the radar. I think they can easily be like a top four team in the West, like after the Warriors and Clippers, like in that 3-4 range, like the Nuggets, maybe Phoenix, like those kind of teams.
No, I agree. I honestly think the Pelicans kind of give me Grizzly vibes last year, where it's just a bad match, where it's just a bad matchup for the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can match up with the Nets defensively, because Herb Jones is just a beast defensively. I mean, Ingram's got length that he's not a great defender, but the length could maybe throw off KD a little bit. I think Kyrie, I would expect to have a huge game, truthfully. I don't think they have anyone to match up with Kyrie. Unless Alvarado gets more minutes, but he's kind of an offensive liability. But I do think Kyrie would be the one, in my opinion, to have a huge scoring game for the Nets. I mean, obviously, KD is going to do KD. He's going to get 27 at the minimum. But really interesting to note. And I think we need Ben Simmons to stay aggressive, of course. But if Zion is on Ben, he's not going to be able to post him up. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
He's going to have to get – he's going to have to come off screens, get downhill. And the Nets, I would expect them to keep moving him all over the court again.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we got to do our picks for this game. You guys want to do it now or at the end of the episode?
We'll go at the end. That's the tradition.
And, all right, sounds good. Let's kind of go more into, like, a season thing. Let's kind of go through a couple of predictions for the entire season. Let's start with starting five. So obviously we all know that the starting five is going to be the one that we saw in the preseason when Joe was out the last two games with Royce, Clax, Ben, Katie, and Kai. Let's assume everyone is healthy, which for the Nets is a pretty big assumption. But I'll start with you, Joe. Everyone is healthy with the current roster. Who is the starting five for the Brooklyn Nets? Who do you think it is, and who do you think it should be? Let's phrase it like that.
Okay, I like that better. So who do I think it is? I think it's going to be Kyrie, Ben, Joe, KD, Clax. Who I think it should be is Kyrie, Ben, Royce, KD, Clax.
Okay, I think most of people Nets Twitter would agree with you that they think Royce should be the starter, but I feel like a lot of people still believe it's Joe's job. Anthony, mm-hmm. you agree with that?
It's tough. It really depends if Royce can hit his open threes, and from what I've seen in Utah and with the preseason games, I think he can, as long as he like remains like a very above average from three. I think you definitely have to do it, because with Ben and Clarkson out there, I think the shooting is very important from that third player. And like, let's say he struggles from three, you can't afford to have a guy that really can't knock the three ball down. But I don't see that happening. So like, if Royce is like hitting his shots, I think it should be Royce as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. I think it should be Royce also, and I think it will be Royce if Joe Harris remains, as he said, limited in any capacity at all. If he can only give you like short spurts or whatever, I mean, it just makes sense to have him come off the bench and play 25 minutes a game, 20 minutes a game, especially early on in the season. I think
that's what we are all like kind of thinking in general. I think, because you were saying fully healthy, if we were getting Joe Harris of old, I do think that Joe Harris would be his spot to lose. But since it's already an uphill battle for him coming back and he's going to have to come back in the league capacity, I think if Royce is going to hold that starting spot, and it's going to be his to lose at that point. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic when Joe comes back and see how they put it all together. Like, if Royce proves that he could, like how he showed flashes in the preseason of him being able to create his own shot at times and being able to knock down his shots, if they would like that more off the bench, than they would in the starting lineup, where you don't necessarily need that at much with all the star power that we have in that lineup. So it's definitely going to be interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, I agree. Let's kind of stick with a group of five. Forget starting. Who's closing for the Nets? The closing lineup? I could start real quick. I think it really depends on who they're playing. But honestly, I think Claxton was so good in the preseason that if he keeps playing like that, I think Claxton should be in the closing lineup no matter who the Nets are playing against. My only fear, which I'm assuming you guys could probably guess, would be banning Claxton shooting free throws down the stretch could be an absolute nightmare if they're both in the game. But they're so good defensively with that five, even if Kyrie's bought in with KD, Royce, Clax, Ben, like they're so long. They have the size to switch. I really think that Ben and Clax can coexist on the offensive end as long as they run a good offensive scheme like we saw in the preseason. So I'm not too concerned about the offensive end besides the free throws.
I agree with you completely, actually. But I mean, if we have to lay out a full closing lineup, if they decide, I would like if we get this version of Clax for him to be in those lineups. But if they decide to run small ball closing, you could put Ben at the five. You have KD at the four, Royce at the three, Kai at the one, and then Joe Harris at the two.
Yeah. I do think there's certain teams that the Nets can play small against, especially if they're down like 8 points with 5 minutes left in the game. I could see them going with a lineup like that where they're going to try to get back into the game quick. But, I mean, Clax, I think Clax is going to take the biggest jump out of anyone on the team personally. Tweeted out today, but he looked good in the preseason. If he could, his biggest thing is he's got to stay on the court. I mean, we all know it. Like, he had the illnesses. Like, Joe was making up illnesses. That's how what happened with Clax last year. I think it was last year.
Yeah, he had the pneumonia chickenpox.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, he's had been unlucky. If he can just stay on the floor, man. He added, I think it was Winfield as well that posted. He's listed at, like, 226 now or something. He added 11 pounds of muscle based on what he was listed at last year.
Yep.
So, I mean, he did everything in the offseason. He worked on his free throws. If he can knock down that corner three we've seen him practicing, man, Claxton could be a huge weapon for the Nets. But, Anthony, what do you think on the closing lineup?
So it depends. Like you said, if guys are hitting free throws or guys are really providing a level defense, then they may be on the court, Ben and Claxton. But if they're playing teams that, like, they can match up, it really depends. I think KD and Kyrie are the givens here. And then the other three, you could mix and match. Like, big teams, you can run the bigger lineup with, like, Royce, Ben, and Clax. Against teams where you really want to, like, match up that are smaller, you could run, like, a Curry or a Mills, which I really recommend. But, like, or go Harris, get more shooting on the court, and then run Ben at the five. It really depends how big of a team you're playing. Like you said, like the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, or the Sixers, I think you need a center out there. But, like, us teams that are smaller, like, I really could see the Nets just running a lineup of Ben at the five and just, like, mix and match shooters, whether it's Royce, Joe, Seth, Patty, or even a wild card like TJ Warren.
Yeah. I completely forgot about TJ Warren when I was thinking about that, actually.
Anthony, I have a quick question. You said that you think KD and Kyrie are the locks. Are you, like, implying that Ben Simmons might not be a lock in the closing lineup some games, or –
if they do hack a Ben, then yeah, I'm saying he's out of luck.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, that's definitely something that the Nets are probably going to deal with at some point, if not multiple points throughout the season. I mean, if you got KD or Kyrie with a bunch of shooters getting offensive possessions or Ben Simmons shooting two free throws, I mean, the numbers would say let Ben Simmons shoot the two free throws as opposed to KD or Kyrie shooting anything. So I do think that's a strategy that other teams will definitely try to do.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with the main rotation. once again, we kind of have to assume that everyone's healthy. I mean, the starting five is a lock, obviously, from what we said. Joe Harris, if he's healthy, is a lock. Seth Curry, if healthy, is a lock. I think TJ Warren, I mean, I want to say he's a lock, but, like, we haven't seen him play basketball in 2 years. So, I mean, can you really say that a guy who hasn't played basketball in 2 years is a lock? I mean, on paper, he's a lock, but yeah. What if he's nowhere near what he used to be? Like, I can't say he's a lock, personally. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I mean, when I would think about a full rotation, obviously we have the star lineup, which we just listed. And for clarification purposes, we said the big three, Royce and Clax. Move forward out of five. What do you want to say, like, around – you want to say eight guys or nine guys?
Probably nine. I mean, even in the regular season, they'll probably run 10.
They'll probably run 10. But, okay, so then if we have those guys in the starting lineup, then obviously Seth is probably a lock in the rotation. Joe Harris is a lock in the rotation. Unfortunately, I think Patty Mills is a lock in the rotation just with how much this organization likes him. I think at that point, just for the size that you need, I think TJ Warren, if healthy, has to be a lock.
Can I get mine?
Yeah.
I just real one quick. I think Yuta Watanabe will be a lock.
Way to steal my thunder, Cody.
That's my hot take. But
that's why I wanted to jump in there, but
really?
There for me.
Yeah, man, he looks good in the preseason. I know he's still not on a guaranteed deal, but
who else should be in the rotation? Who actually could squeak in there and find some minutes based on how they looked in the preseason? Edmund Sumner too. True. He looked very good.
The Nets are deep, man. We didn't mention Cam Thomas. We didn't mention Dayron, who could be the backup center.
Yeah.
Like, the Nets are deep, and I think they can play a lot of different styles, which is good. But, all right, let's move on to who will be the next most hated Nets player. We're going to call it the TLC Award. The TLC James Johnson Award. Who's going to be it this year? I think the obvious bet is Patty Mills, just because a lot of Nets fans are already shitting on the guy on Twitter and we're in the preseason. I think Patty's the obvious one. I could see a lot of guys getting mad at Keith as well, Mark Keith, if he somehow plays. If he's not knocking down shots. But I got to go with Patty. I'm rolling with Patty. I took the obvious one. Sorry, guys.
Oh, man. Yeah, you kind of left us a little stuck. Honestly, thinking about, like, the Nets rotation in general, I feel like if they give him another chance and he starts stinking it up, I feel like it could be Kessler Edwards. A lot of people were also really mad at him during the preseason with how he looked. I don't know if he's going to play that much, but I mean, he showed us so much promise last year. And if he gets rotational minutes and he looks how he looked this preseason, then I feel like he's the next man up for that award.
Yeah, that's a good one, Joe. I agree with that. And like you said, Kess showed a ton of potential, and I really hope he doesn't fall in that category. But I think there is, unfortunately, a chance. He just plays timid still, in my opinion. But
I think on the last podcast that we did, I said that I feel like he's going to be one of our biggest X factors. And then he proceeded to stink it up in the last two preseason games.
I'm going to go with Dayron Sharp. I think the backup five is going to be the worst part of this year. I think his lack of discipline with the fouling may get Nets fans very frustrated, and it may force the Nets to trade for a backup five.
Yeah. So Anthony is basically saying Nets Twitter will be calling for Miles Turner again. Fuck it.
The salary I know now does not make sense, so that's not going to happen. Be PJ Washington.
Yep.
Mo Bamba.
Mo Bamba is my guy, but I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, it would be pretty sick if the Nets could pull off a Mo Bamba trade and we go to a playoff game and this man gets like a block and they start blasting a song in the arena. That'd be pretty sick. Josiah, think about the business potential, please.
True. He's lost a lot of money last year. Get some of that money back, Josiah.
Yeah. Not by increasing ticket prices, please.
True. All right. Let's go Most Nets player most likely to win an NBA award, and which award is it? I shouldn't say player. It could be anything. Any net. It could be Steve Nash winning Coach of the Year, Joe. But any person, any person. By the way, that was a joke. That's not going to happen. Any person in the Nets organization or player, like it could be Sean Marks winning Executive of the Year. It could be Ben Simmons winning Rookie of the Year again. What do you guys think? Who is most likely to win an award, and what award is it?
Can we count? Does it have to be like an MVP type award, or can it be like a leading a statistical category?
Yeah, it could be anything. Anything you want, Joe.
Okay. I like Ben Simmons to lead the league in assists.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think it's definitely possible. This is probably the most offensive firepower he's ever played with. And we saw in preseason.
That was like plus 1,100 on FanDuel, by the way, if anybody wants to know.
I think Joe might have placed a bet on that, but
maybe not.
Anthony, you got one?
Besides Kyrie and KD being on NBA teams, I'm going to say...
Yeah, that's a good one. Fuck.
I'm going to say Cam Thomas, most improved player.
Okay.
We just didn't name bro in our rotation.
Yeah, right.
I didn't give a rotation, to be fair, but
he definitely could be. I feel like later down the line, if Patty Mills does turn into Mr. TLC or James Johnson, then that's the guy right there to take his minutes. So
Jordan Poole 2.0.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cam Thomas definitely has that kind of potential if he cracks the rotation. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't think Steve Nash loves this play style, truthfully. I think they kind of – I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to go with – I think if anyone's winning most improved on the Nets, I know I tweeted it, so it's kind of cheating today, but I think it's Nick Claxton, honestly. I just don't know if he's going to do enough in a box score to get recognition, like, league-wide for that award. But as far as it goes, most improved on the Nets, I think it's going to be Claxton. We kind of bashed what the roster needs. I think we all agree it's another big or a stretch big, so we could probably skip that. Amount of all-stars. How many all-stars are the Nets going to have, if any?
Two.
Do you want to say which two? Because I think there's three guys that could be fighting for it.
Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant.
I feel like the media won't allow Ben Simmons in. I'll do two.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a safe bet to say those two. How many games will Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons play combined? Not like together, just the two combined. How many games are they going to play this year, do you guys think?
130.
If they play 130, the Nets are the one seed in the East. I'll say that right now. But Joe?
That'll 164 to see now.
Oh, and thanks for the math. I'll say along the lines of like 115.
Yeah, I was going to be closer to 110, personally. I think mid-50s for both of them is reasonable. Maybe one gets in the 60s. I mean, if they get to 130, like, hell yeah, Anthony. That's what I want to hear.
They're actually going to play 10 games combined.
Don't stop it. You stop it right now.
It's 2 years ago all over again. And last year. The year before.
You stop it. Yeah, it's basically just every single season since like Kyrie's been here.
Wait,
like,
we're
have hope. Let's have hope. Up. The season hasn't even started yet.
Ramp up.
Sorry. Let's get enough of this Anthony guy. Let's end with a standings prediction. Let's go. I don't know if you guys want to do top 8 in the East, if that's too much to throw at you right now. If you want to just go where you think the Nets will finish in the East.
Okay. I mean, I'll say that the Nets are the 3 seed. If you want to do the top 8, then I'm down with that.
Yeah, Joe, give your top 8 first. We'll give Anthony a second.
You want it in order or just like the top? Okay, I guess I'll try to do it in order. I think that the Boston Celtics are the 1 seed.
Okay.
the Milwaukee Bucks are the 2 seed. Nets are the 3. Miami Heat is 4th. Never mind. The Cavaliers are 4th. The Miami Heat are 5th. Trying to think who else is even.
Philly, Atlanta, Raptors, yeah, Bulls.
I'll put Philly is 6. Atlanta is 7. No, yeah, Philly is 6. Atlanta is 7. And
probably Raptors.
I'm not that hot.
Raptors, Bulls, Knicks are probably the next best 3.
Yeah, I'll probably go Bulls 8.
Okay.
Raptors end up being 9, I think.
My list is similar. I had Bucks 1. I actually had the Nets at 2. I have the Celtics at 3. I mean, the Celtics have a lot of question marks. I know they looked really good against Philly tonight. I have Philly at 4, Miami at 5, the Cavs at 6, the Hawks at 7, the Raptors at 8, and then the Bulls at 9. So, I mean, our lists are pretty similar, actually, Joe.
Yeah, I was just trying to think about, like, I mean, obviously, all those teams, like, the East is loaded, but it's just, like, I'm trying to see, like, what teams have guys that are going to be available. And I was going to put the Bucks at 1, but I know Middleton may be out for a little bit, and I want the Bulls to be higher as well, but Lonzo is going to be out for a long time, and we saw last year when he went down, he was really, like, the glue that held that team together. So it's definitely an interesting one.
I think the Bulls will take the biggest slide in the Eastern Conference, personally.
From 6?
From where they were last year. Yeah, I think they're going to be.
No, I'm sorry. They were 8, right? No, they were six. They were 6.
Yeah, they were 6.
Right.
I think they're going to be like 9-10 in that area. But Anthony, you can go.
They go Philly, the 1 seed.
Whoa! Brooklyn. Philly, the 1 seed.
I think they have a lot of depth this year, and they added a lot. And I think they're regular. Philly's the 1 seed, Brooklyn's the 2 seed, Boston 3, Milwaukee 4, Cleveland 5, Atlanta 6, Miami 7. I'm gonna go New York Knicks at 8.
Okay. Wow.
I think I'm not high on the Bulls. Vucevic took a step back last year. Lonzo's out for a while. I think DeRozan played his peak self. And I don't know. I think they take a step back. But the Raptors, right. maybe Raptors 8. I'm going to go Raptors 8 next time, then Bulls 10.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, bottom line.
I think Charlotte's going to be horrendous. I think Orlando's going to be horrendous. I think Detroit will be bad, but they'll be, like, on the upcoming.
Yeah, I think the Pacers are going to be trash.
Yeah, there's only, like, 3 or 4 really bad teams in the East, which is, like, kind of annoying because, like, in years past, the East has been, like, a dumpster fire. And now it's, like, there's not really a lot of soft spots in the schedule.
Yeah, and even when you look at the teams that you think should be bottom dwellers just off the top of your head, like the Pistons, it won't shock me if they somehow sneak into a play-in spot. Like, it really won't.
Oh, the Wizards, I forgot to. They're kind of eh.
Yeah.
The West has a lot of bad teams. You look at bad teams in the West. Houston's bad. I would say OKC's bad. Sacramento's bad. San Antonio's bad. Utah's bad. I think the Lakers are horrendous. I just watched Pat Pepper take a fadeaway 3, and I saw Westbrook clank one.
Yeah, Westbrook just missed the layup. So, yeah, no, I think the West is definitely the worst conference now. I think the East is better at the top, and I think it's deeper, which hasn't been the case for a long time.
Yep. Yeah, I think since I started watching basketball, the West has always been the better conference. So I've been watching like 13, 14 years like intensely. So, yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah, I mean, the East is loaded, but – any other awards you guys want to do before we predict tomorrow's game? I mean, we got to beat Joe this year, Anthony.
Yeah, no, Joe, like I said, Joe took advantage of a losing streak. He's a pessimist, but I'm
not. Any other awards or predictions or anything you guys want to give season long?
Russell Westbrook winning Sixth Man of the Year.
Stop it.
Westbrook should be in the streets.
I have one more, real quick. Yes or no? No explanation. Does Steve Nash finish the year as the Brooklyn Nets head coach?
I have to give an explanation real quick.
Okay, make it quick.
If the Celtics end up firing Ime Udoka, no.
Okay. Anthony?
He stays as coach.
Okay. I'm going to say yes, he remains the coach as well. All right. Let's go into predictions for tomorrow night's game against Pelicans. I mean, I can't believe we're already back at game one. Joe, you're going to go first, my guy, since you're the champion.
Are we serious? Okay. I'm taking a Nets win. Obviously, I have to off the bat.
Cody, you got
second. I'm also taking a Nets win. I think it's going to be close, though. I think it's going to be a very close game. Should be a lot of fun, but Nets win.
And I think the Brooklyn Nets win as well.
All right. So there it is. We're all predicting.
You guys are scared to go against the Nets.
I think they actually win, so I'm going to go with what I think.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too.
But all right. Thank you guys for listening to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast with Andy, Joe, and Cody. One of 82 begins tomorrow for our Brooklyn Nets.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.